We are talking about getting good, solid financial advice and investment questions. One of the things that always comes up if we talk about investment is fees, because, you know, those fellas want to make a few bob out of you, and you have a business at the end of the day. So what is your attitude towards fees and how much they should be?
I have a simple answer for that. It should just be transparent. You should just know what you're paying. And the only way to really know, traditionally, investment products and pension products, all the fees have been kind of packaged up into one figure, which is hidden in page 55 of the documentation. And people don't tend to ask the question. They've spent so much time trying to get the pension set up, they don't ask the question about what the fees are. So my advice to people and my recommendation is that they understand the breakdown. Legislators are starting to force people to break the fees down and be more clear about what the investment manager is getting paid, what the life insurance company is getting paid, what the broker is getting paid. All those little bits add up.
People's instinct traditionally is, I'm going to get done here. And yeah, I try and work out how I'm going to get done, which is not how the service industry traditionally works.
Yeah, true. But the financial advice industry has been marred a bit by that, in that everything is so hidden away. It's hard to break down what is good value and what's bad value. So, you know, I think it's there is a bit of an onus on the individual to ask the question. It's a simple question. What are you getting paid as the advisor? And what are all the other people involved in this getting paid?
And there's plenty of businesses out there. You can shop around if you don't like the answers you're given, presumably.
Yeah, like Fidelity, a huge US fund manager, last Friday launched a free fund. Now, you're going to ask me how they do that, and I'll explain that later. But they are doing equity investment funds for nothing now to the investor. So that's
that just sounds too good to be true.
Yeah, it does. But it is actually okay. And it's standard practice to have very, very low fees on investment funds, particularly in the US, because they're able to use the assets they have in the fund to raise money elsewhere. So they just want your money, and they're willing to do that for free as a bit of a loss leader to get to build these big funds. And because they're so large, there's very little risk to the investor.
Okay.
So it's good.
Let's go through some of the questions. Lots have come in, by the way. Yeah. Can you tell me where is the best place to save my money with the best interest rate?
Yeah, so that's a very common question. I get that a few times a day. And it depends.
Not the bank at the moment.
It's always, yeah. Like permanent TSB and KBC tend to compete for the best deposit rates at the moment in around 0.5%.
Is it, I mean, that's virtually non-existent.
And then you pay 37% tax on the interest. Dirt tax, so yeah, you're getting very little. You're probably not even beating inflation now, even though inflation's very low. Even that rate isn't beating it, but it's secure and it's not going to jump around. So if you need it for to pay for someone's wedding next year or to pay a deposit on a house, that's probably the only game in town, because at least it's a little bit of return and it's secure. Whereas any other investment you make can potentially beat that interest rate over the long term, but may not do it between now and next year. The stock market can move around wildly over 1 year. So the best interest rate over a short period of time is really just still the banks, unfortunately.
And the problem is, while low interest rates are fantastic for people who have a mortgage that's linked to the ECB, it's a disaster for anyone who's trying to make a few bob on savings.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So, yeah, the bank isn't, for longer term stuff, it's not the right place to be.
Mary says, I got an old age pension recently. I have a nest egg of about 100k to invest. I can live on my pension for the foreseeable future. I have no other loans. Any advice for lucky Mary, as we'll call her?
Yeah, so there's 100 billion on deposit in Ireland at the moment, and it's people like Mary who have money that they don't need necessarily immediately, but they're too afraid to put it to work. So the stock market will be the best performing asset class over the next 10 years, or once you go out past 10 years, you can rely on the stock market to give you a great return. It tends, over the last 100 years, has averaged about 8% a year. But you have to be willing to allow the nest egg of 100 grand to move up and down. That stock market can fall 40% in a year, no
then
problem.
You have to stick with it, doesn't mean?
You have to stick with it. So there's no point in going into a risky investment and then as soon as it falls, coming out. You have to ride it out. But over the very long term, that is the place to be. And then it's a trade-off about how long you're willing to sit on it.
As a newly married couple, says another texter, we've just bought a house, we have a baby on the way. Is there a better way to put extra money into a pension or pay off the mortgage? Sorry, is it better to pay extra money into a pension or pay off the mortgage?
Yeah, like newly married couple and they've just bought a house, so they're probably paying, don't have a tracker rate, so they're probably paying over 3% in a standard variable rate with one of the banks. So all things being equal, it's more important to pay that down. And then it's a trade-off between getting the mortgage paid off and putting some money aside for the long term. Because if you wait until the mortgage is clear, it'll be too late to allow your pension to grow at all.
So you have to start the pension young.
You do, yeah. So it's a balance between the two. And I think both have merit. So sometimes I'll say, to split the two, you know, put some money into the mortgage and put some away.
This is from a parent. What's the best way to give money to purchase a house for offspring in the UK? I love the way they refer to their children as offspring.
Offspring,
that's a
yeah.
wonderful, loving relationship.
It's a beautiful relationship. Well, they have very similar inheritance tax and gift rules to us here. So depending on how much they want to gift, they have a £3,000 a year tax-free gift exemption, same as we have, €3,000 here. So if the offspring is married and has kids, could potentially gift 6-12 grand a year, and they could build up between now and this time next year. They could easily gift 20 or 30 grand tax-free without any.
So if they say it's a husband and wife and two children, you can give £3,000 per person.
Exactly.
But does that not have to directly go to the kids?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Elaine, a best way to save for third level for children approximately 6 years old, she's due to go, we're self-employed, can you pay your children, is it tax deductible?
It's not tax deductible, unfortunately. That would be a nice incentive and probably fits in with your all your childcare discussions today, but it's 6 years, and then it's the period during university as well, so it's longer than that really that they need to be providing some money. And the options are the same as for lump sums. The rates are higher for monthly savings. If they wanted to put money away for the next 6 years, I think you get 1.75 with EBS at the moment for monthly amounts. And then that'll have to continue probably for the period that they're in college as well.
If she's one of the options is you pay your children. What's that mean? I mean, they have to be doing work to be paid.
Yeah, like there's a very, very, revenue are very clear on this for anybody who's employing a spouse or a child. It needs to be fair pay for fair work. So you can't pay a child 50 grand a year for an afternoon filing on a Friday. It just doesn't work.
They'd love it.
Yeah, of course they would. It has to be commensurate with the work.
Yeah. Okay. I have 80K in savings in the post office on a 10-year plan. I've no pension. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. That's from Denise.
Yeah, so that 80K is locked into a low rate in one of those long-term on-post savings. Probably not even going to match inflation over that period. So they have to ask, what are they going to do with their savings from now on, firstly, and take quite a bit of risk, because that 80 grand is secure. And so they have some scope to take risk, or try and get the money out and try and have it invested a bit more aggressively. Because I worry about those on-post accounts. They seemed like a great idea back in just after the crash, when they were lovely and secure and state guaranteed. But everything else is going to roar ahead compared to them. And you need to be beating inflation at a minimum.
Pat is in Dublin. Good morning, Pat. Home for pension lump sum, just under 100K left. Where to put it? This is a bit cryptic, we're getting there. Yeah. A credit union limit applies and have no interest in the banks. State saving schemes used to offer returns, but lobbying from the banks would pay to that. What's he trying to say? He's got 100 grand left to pay in his home loan, is it?
No, he's got 100 grand that he got out of a tax-free lump sum out of his pension. And it's the same answer again. It's about trying to take risk, but understanding what that means. If you want to get a decent return, you have to take a bit of risk. There's no way around it. But risk, it's only short-term risk to the value. It's not anything like a permanent loss of capital, as some of the industry people say. If you're willing to ride it out for a long enough period of time, taking some risk in equities or other risky assets will work long-term and beat the banks comfortably.
Craig says, I'm 18, I'm going into sixth year. I have an amount of savings in my credit union account. Should I keep the savings or invest or set up a pension? Greg, first of all, you're 18. Enjoy life a little bit. Don't be worrying about this kind of stuff for at least another 5 years. But what is the advice to Greg?
Probably the only 18-year-old with some savings, I think, in the country, maybe.
The only 18-year-old thinking of a pension, guaranteed.
Yeah. No, there's no point doing a pension unless you have earned income. Because if you're not getting the tax relief, you absolutely shouldn't do a pension. Because you're going to pay tax at the end.
You're
in retirement
anyway.
You're
going to be paying it for long enough. Yeah. There's no point if you can't take something back from the tax man. There's no point in putting it into the pension.
Exactly. So I would just I would enjoy the money, firstly. And if there's some scope to put it away, put it into a reasonably long-term investment account with low fees to try and help supplement university fees, help your parents, you know, to cover those costs, and think that way. But I wouldn't go near a pension. And I wouldn't be overly worried about it at 18. I think there's other fish
to fry.
But there's
lots, you know, the fact you have savings, you could invest it, but the bottom line is keep the savings for now, because you never know when you're going to need that cash.
Oh yeah, I always recommend people try and have a rainy day fund that they can rely on themselves anyway.
This is an interesting one. Should I sell my bonds and property in light of the situation of high street closures? Now, this is a bigger thing in the UK than it is here.
Yeah.
But there is a potential problem coming down the line that commercial property won't be as valuable if people stop shopping in shops.
Yeah. So this is this question, you could change the word property to equities or anything else in this question and say, am I smart enough to time the market? And in my 20 years experience in investing, I'm not, and I don't see many people who are. So I would make that decision around the person's personal circumstances. Can they afford for the value of their property fund to fall and then recover again? Or is it money they need next year? So it's not about trying to time the market and outsmart the property developers and the professional investors. It's about investing under your circumstances and making the decisions related to your own finances.
There's one more, but I'm not going to give you the chance to answer because it annoyed me. I'm in my mid-40s. I finished paying our mortgage next year. Well, good luck to you.
Well done you.
Yeah. As I said, enjoy the rest of your mortgage-free life. Yeah. You're looking sod. What's the website if people want to look you up, David?
Investwise.ie.
Investwise.ie. David Quinn, thank you very much for joining us.